You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome back to Cairo News Radio Middays. Shaq Stein, Spike O'Neal, Mr. You have tuberculosis again. We finally did it, Spike. We finally did it.
You have tuberculosis again.
Again.
We caught the woman. We finally did it. I'd like to thank myself, not you, Chris Martin and Andrew, and all of the fine listeners of this radio program for helping catch this menace, this fugitive from justice, the TV lady. I've been talking about this for nigh on months, Spike O'Neal. And I'd like to thank the fine officers out there who put their lives on the line to track down TB lady and put her where she belongs, in prison. Because if you got TB, you can't be going to casinos. You can't be messing around playing stocks. You go to jail, lady. That's it.
Well, I should have full disclosure. My children's book, Free to Be You and TB, will not be published. They've pulled the plug on that one.
That's too bad. Jason Rantz, good friend of the show, wrote a story up about, Lincoln Elementary School in Olympia. And basically, on May 9th, some of the students were receiving sex education lessons. And the parents were told that these were district approved. But students were given unapproved lesson plans. Now, I don't mind if teachers want to color outside of the lines. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think in many cases, teachers are their lesson plans are a little bit too streamlined. I want teachers to be able to exercise the craft of teaching. However, in this instance, Mr. O'Neill, this seems like it's way over the line. And it coincides with what we've been talking about now for a couple of weeks. It also coincides with Pride Month, which is how much of this information is actually necessary versus how much of this information is like gender theory, which is high level, second year college stuff that is not necessary for elementary school kids. So we've got some pictures here from Jason Rantz. From the materials that these kids were given. And I got to tell you, Spike, if my kid was there, I would be upset. Not necessarily because I would not have spoken to my kid about these things in advance, but because this is the kind of stuff when people say that this is inappropriate for kids, this is all the ammunition anybody needs to go against any trans kids or gay kids or whatever it might be, right?
Right.
The people who think that they are helping these kids are actually making it worse through their nonsense. And I don't really have a lot of patience for it, Spike, to be honest with you, because the stuff on this list is like, it's bad. And I, as someone who is pro-gay marriage, I will debate anybody on trans issues all day long. We can talk about Lupron or any of these other drugs. We can talk about Histarin or Supplerin or any of these drugs. I'm happy to talk about it. This is wrong to showcase this in front of kids. But I thought what we could do, Spike, to have it be kind of fun is we go through the list and we determine which of these are appropriate for kids to learn about in school and which of these are not appropriate for kids to learn
about.
Let
me just take a minute to get my resume in order, as this may be our last broadcast ever.
Okay.
No, I'm with you because when I had sex ed in elementary school, right, fifth grade, of course, it was taught to me by our teacher. John Quincy Adams was still a public teacher at that time.
Of course.
It was a while back. I swear it was 1971 or two that I was in fifth grade, if I'm doing the math correctly. It's kind of a
while lesson
back.
Where they're like, well, if you have a fever, you go out and you punch a goat and it goes away. Was that the
jar of leeches on the nurse's desk at school? You know how it was. And we didn't have the kind of support and the kind of materials that teachers now have to work with. I get it's not a graphic novel. That what the materials handed out these elementary school teachers, but it's pretty graphic. I'll say that. Well, and some of the things that are included, this is a health class, and I get that physical health and mental health are now both being addressed. That's great. And there's a time in your life where you'll start to wonder. I mean, for example, the most troubling is I guess the gender wheel. We'll go through it.
Yeah.
There's a caption that says some kids are he, some kids are she, some kids are they, and some kids have even more pronouns to share because everyone belongs.
See, so that's what I'm talking about, Spike, when I talk about there's a difference between medical treatment for trans individuals, which is science-based, and there's literature on it. We can read about Lupron, and we can read about Histidine and the diagnoses and the length of time that somebody should be on those various substances. We can read about gonadotropin, and we can go into great detail with multivariate analysis over a 5-year to 10-year timeline for these kids, and I'm happy to do it. What you can't do is you can't show somebody a gender wheel and introduce gender theory and say, this is what we're operating by now because I read Foucault in college and gender is just a social construct. This is nonsense. So, but what I wanted to focus in on first, Spike, is some of this is actually useful information.
Yes.
This is a page from Lincoln Elementary in Olympia talking about, this is a health class, it's for 11-year-old kids, and a lot of this seems completely appropriate. Supplies that could be helpful during puberty, you get to choose what works for you. I find nothing offensive about this. They go through tampons and things and pads and deodorant and razors and bras and jock straps. These are acceptable things to talk. I learned about these things when I was 11 years old. I learned about AIDS when I was 11 years old. Well, we had to, it was mandatory in the state of California where they had to introduce kids to the concept of AIDS when I was in fifth grade. And they just explained to us what the virus was like. And they were talking about, you know, basically what it would do to the human body. It was more of a biology thing versus like a sex ed type.
Right.
What I object to on this fun piece of paper that was given to the kids is puberty blockers, which is right next to razors and right next to deodorant.
And that's
right
between jock straps and bras, to be completely transparent.
So puberty blockers, specifically the one that they're talking about, Suplerin LA, is a drug that I've looked into because, you know, Spike, I read everything. I'm a voracious reader. And Histidine is the actual name of the drug. And what it does is it prevents the pituitary gland from releasing certain gonadotropic hormones into the body, which are masculinizing hormones effectively. It's an implant that they put in the body for kids who have precocious puberty. It's incredibly rare to use this, and it's considered to be an extreme medical intervention. It's so uncommon that Lupron is more, that's the one everybody talks about, Lupron, because they castrate people with Lupron, even though it's been used for this purpose for decades. This is an incredibly rare thing to do to a kid who's suffering from precocious puberty, which happens to a very small amount of kids. To say that that is as typical as a bra or a razor is insanity. That's like me saying that Spike, when you go to learn how to get your driver's license, you also get to go to space. It just doesn't happen.
<That's>, yeah.
It's literally like, okay, so how many people have been to space? Less than 100, but you get to go.
You need to know.
It's literal madness. Like, this is like, I once saw a jackrabbit with a woman's face. It's like, what are you talking about? What crazy what crazy lesson plan are you teaching these kids? And so when you see that, you go, I understand why these parents at Lincoln Elementary are upset. Absolutely. Well, right? And it's confusing to kids.
And there's approved school district material, and you said that this wasn't the approved material. That's the problem here. I mean, parents were told this is going to be very anatomically health-driven, age-appropriate, puberty, you know, pubescent, yada, yada. And the material, like you said, a puberty blockers is not age-appropriate anatomically. It's a conversation that should be had between a family and their doctor or a family and their school official, school administrator. If your kid feels like they're having a, what's called, what puberty is it? The aggressive puberty you called?
Precocious
puberty. I was going to say.
Right.
If you feel that that's happening, have a conversation with the school administrator because it's uncomfortable moments for your kid in class or your family doctor because there's things you should know and do. But that's not part of the whole coloring book you're handing out to every kid in fifth grade.
Right. And when you normalize a medical intervention like Histidine, which is used, it is so uncommon that you need a prior authorization from your physician in order to be even the idea that you would be on the receiving end of it, because it's an implant that they physically put in your body, right? It is so uncommon that even kids, when we talk about standard hormone therapy for kids, it's not even on the list. So, but then you throw it in there like it's like, yeah, that's just what we do. It's like, you know, it's like chicken nuggets at lunchtime. Everybody gets one, right? It's like, no. And when you trivialize medical intervention like this, you make it worse and you make it confusing for people who don't have the time to go and read, well, what are the medical outcomes for kids who have precocious puberty who are on Histalurin for 12 months or whatever it might be, right?
Yeah. I just hate that when teachers, because, you know, we've been talking about this quite a bit of late because it is the number one problem facing America these days is what kind of flags right. flying out front.
Correct.
We've been talking about this so much, but when people do things like this with children at this age group, this is not appropriate, age-appropriate material for school. It's not district-approved material. When people take actions like this, it really makes it harder to have valid conversations with people because the hyperbolic arguments people make, the fear-mongering arguments people make, this is what they're talking about, and this is evidence that it's actually happening.
Right, and then there was a horse that was made out of body hair that was shown to the kids, which is deeply disturbing. The gender wheel worksheet was part of the elementary school sex ed curriculum. It listed different identities like trans, intersex, drag king, trans femme, agender person, girlish boy, boy girl, and a non-binary person. Now, if you want to study gender theory, that's all well and fine and good, and we can all talk about Foucault, and we can all talk about, well, what does it mean, and how does language form meaning, and what did postmodernists say about, you know, we could go into that all day long.
Not in fifth grade.
In fifth grade, it's you're basically.
Why do I stink? I remember the movie. Right. I woke up hairy. I remember.
And what's sad about this is that what you basically have, Spike, this is my running theory on this. You have a bunch of people who were introduced to these concepts in college, and it gave them a certain amount of understanding about the complexities of what it means to be a human being. It's an esoteric concept of what am I, right?
Right.
And so they were able to find all these different definitions and kind of pin them together to create the tapestry that we call gender expression in the United States. And then rather than saying, well, that's good for me as an adult who's thought about it, they go, I'm going to share this with a bunch of 11-year-old kids. The equivalent of that, Spike, is that if I go to a bunch of 11-year-old kids and I go, okay, listen, you guys, if you freebase heroin and cocaine at the same time, what you want to do is you want to make sure that the cocaine is on top of the heroin so that it doesn't burn, right? Because if you burn your blow, it's not going to be as effective, okay? And keep in mind, when I say freebase, what I mean is you don't want to use a regular Bic lighter because that's not gonna get the juices a running. You got to get one of those butane, one of those blowtorch lighters.
Meanwhile, every kid in the class is crying.
Crying. And the other thing you want to make sure that you got to do, the most important thing when you're freebasing drugs is to make sure dental health is the most important here. Take a look at my jaw. You see the two teeth that I'm missing in the back here? See, that I lost that because of my heroin addiction.
Yeah, but don't let what happened to Uncle Jack happen to you. Like, teeth are your best friends.
Yeah, you guys see this divot that I have on the back of my leg? That's from a staph infection that I had that was about the size of a softball. I had to be in the hospital for 3 days. Can you believe it? You guys, hey, and you can do that too with drugs. What you're doing is you're confusing and you're scaring children, and you're trying to make something that is abstract and very adult seem as if it's normal, and that's where they just go wrong. These drawings are like bodies can look all sorts of ways, and then they show examples of intersex variation. I didn't have access to that material, Spike, until I was in my, I think it was in my, when I took anatomy in college, we had to look at people with Klinefelter syndrome and things of the like. This is advanced study material. My first degree is in anthropology. When you get into the physiology of human beings, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that frightens and scares and confuses 11-year-olds. I won't stand for it. I know that the school came out and apologized. I think that there probably should be a little bit more than an apology, right?
Let me ask you this. To that end, let me ask you this. So the teachers that decided to distribute this material, like you said, they probably went to a college that gave them this understanding, and they know they're dealing with a different generation of children than they were or that their parents were. And do you think their intention was true and good, just trying to inform kids so they're not, you know, confused or scared or feel self-conscious about what they don't understand? Was it good intention, and is that enough?
Okay, so No. So there's this thing, there's this movement on colleges. It's the abolish gender movement. And the idea is that we need to live in a genderless society in order to create equality in society. And because the concepts of man and woman exist, that is the fundamental hierarchy that needs to be deconstructed. This is deep gender theory that I'm getting into. And this isn't what I believe personally, but I sat through hours of this nonsense when I was in college. So
right.
The idea is that if we abolish those concepts, we are then closer to our utopic society. The issue with that is that that is, one, it's a combination of like Hegelian theory, but then two, it's just anti-science. It doesn't make any sense. But you have these people who learn this and they adopt it because it gives them a sense of feeling complete and whole in what is otherwise a very chaotic world. And then they think, I need to then distribute this to kids to help them understand the matrix that we live in, not realizing that they're actually damaging and harming these kids. I'm fine to talk to gender activists and explain this to them, but they don't really want to hear it because they're more concerned about trying to establish a society in which gender is not a condition by which we judge or measure people, right? So
kids, man. We gotta.
They're kids, man. If it's like basically like if someone came to me and was like, "Hey, can you explain like Camus to some kids?" Or, "Hey, do you want to talk about?" You know what I mean? Like,
right.
"Hey, can you want to explain like some Hegelian theory of the master slave dialectic?" And then we can go into Marxism or like it's just like you know what I mean? It's at a certain point in time that it's not acceptable for kids, no matter what the topic is. But these people don't really care. I'm not going to say it's good faith at all. I'm going to say it's agenda driven, largely because they think that it's their role to do this.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's what gender theory tells them to do, is that you have to go out into the world and proliferate this idea. Right.
Well, then
and,
then take a job teaching at a college.
Right. That's
don't
what
be
they
at Lincoln.
Do.
Don't be at Lincoln Elementary.
Yeah, that's what they should do. But the idea is like if you deny a child their transness when they're 6 or 7, then they will go through their entire life being denied that aspect of themselves. Again, there's nothing in scientific literature which would promote that, but it's in gender theory. And so when we separate the two things, Spike, I think it becomes a lot clearer that one of these is science and the other one is like theoretical college, sit down, talk about it. You know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And so in order to talk about it effectively, you have to separate the two. Otherwise, you're mixing and then you don't understand and then people get confused. And so
it doesn't belong in a coloring book.
Certainly does not belong
Seriously.
In a coloring book. Hey, speaking of, by the way, that guy in Aberdeen, I want to talk about that guy.
Okay.
You know, maybe we should step off that.
Mix it up a little bit, talk about something different. Okay.
Yeah, let's mix it up. Let's, we'll call an audible. We'll figure it out during the break. We'll be right back right after this. So the fine country of Canada, also known as America's hat, is the first country to put health warnings on individual cigarettes. Now, cigarettes are gross. I say this as someone who used to smoke a ton of cigarettes. Like, I was heavily addicted to cigarettes.
I'm now really?
I'm just now heavily addicted to my nicotine lozenges. That I sound like I'm in a mariachi when I walk around. This is all people here.
Nice. I mean?
Like if my cat runs outside, all of a sudden it's like.
Your cat's addicted to him too? Is that he going to come in?
No, like good. She runs outside and then my cadence picks up and then the shaking of the.
Gotcha.
Get it? Because they're in my pocket. That was the joke. Anyway, so Canada's announced that it's putting individual warning labels on cigarettes and other tobacco products in an effort to further reduce their appeal. Not going to work, I think. It's kind of hard to take away that, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of hard for people to not want to smoke cigarettes because they're so unbelievably addictive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel as if you could put whatever image you wanted to put on there. If you put Joe Biden on Marlboro Reds, people would still go out and buy Marlboro Reds.
Yeah, throw a rainbow on the box. So tell you what, man,
that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is right there. Maybe
rainbow lights. Face the gay.
Right. Or maybe they need to, what they need to do is like the cigarette companies need to come out in support of gay men and women, and then people will boycott. I've just solved the issue. I know
there
how to
go.
Get America to stop smoking cigarettes.
Hey, so Trudeau, get Trudeau on the phone. Quick.
Is this cringe or is this based? Now, first and foremost, did anybody else in here smoke cigarettes besides me, Spike? Did
you Never. Smoke not, cigarettes? Not. I had tried one when I was maybe 11, 12, puked up my guts, never went back, never had another one.
Chris?
No, not regularly. Whenever, like, if I'm out drinking and people around me are smoking, I'll have maybe one every couple of months or something.
Wow.
So I don't find it addictive at all because it's so disgusting.
Yeah,
but you still you do it every other month.
Andrew, smoking cigarettes?
I tried once when I was younger, and it just didn't stick.
There you go.
And I got a good advice from a former employee here. It was like, don't do it. And I was like, I'll take you up on that.
Yeah, it's super gross. It was the worst habit that I had. It was also the when I gave up doing drugs, I gave up cigarettes at the same time.
Good for
you.
How young were you when you started? Do you mind if I ask?
Oh man, my first cigarette was the day I turned 18. I don't remember my first cigarette. I can tell you that the day I turned 18, I went out and I bought a pack of Lucky Strikes because I wanted to impress my friends. And then we sat in my buddy Will's 1987 Corolla.
Because you wanted to impress your friends.
And I went to high school in Carmel, California, which is like the wealthiest of the wealthy of the wealthy. And I was living out in the rural area with horses and people who were like, yeehaw! And then I would come to school with people that the parking lot was basically the used car dealership in Beverly Hills. It was like Audis and Mercedes and BMWs. And I would show up in my 69 Ford Ranger. You know what I mean? It was kind of an interesting juxtaposition. But we were sitting in my friend Will's 87 Corolla. And we were all smoking cigarettes, thinking we were so cool, like we were kind of James Dean-esque.
Yeah.
And then my buddy Jerry was like, hey, man, you know what's even better than smoking one cigarette is smoking two cigarettes back to back. You light the second one with the first one. And so me being a champion – this is at lunchtime during school, by the way. This is at lunch hour during school. Me being the champion that I was, I said, I can do that. No problem, right? I can smoke two cigarettes back to back. I was so ill. I got so sick that I couldn't finish the second cigarette. We get back to high school and we all walk through the parking lot. We reek of cigarettes, yeah, right? Because we're sitting in this car.
a little hot box in the whole car. Yeah.
So we reek of cigarettes, and I see the principal, Mr. Palestrini. And we're about to walk right by him, you know, basically smelling like Dean Martin on a Sunday morning. You know what I mean? Like just the worst, you know, like Sinatra's suit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like the worst. So I begin to have a panic attack as we walk past Mr. Palestrini. And so I just collapse right in front because my heart rate was so high from the nicotine. And I was so nervous that I was going to get written up that I just collapsed right in front of the guy. And I don't know what was going through my mind. I was just so out of it that imagine me, I'm like holding my eyes shut with my hands. I'm on my back with my knees up. Right? So I'm basically in like the dead bug position is the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you okay? And I go, I don't feel good, Mr. Bal. And then he says, were you just smoking cigarettes? And I go, no.
I wasn't, but all my friends were.
I go, there was someone down at the beach who was smoking cigarettes near us, and now I'm sick. And he made me go to the nurse's office, and I was green. I was so ill. I was basically, it took me an hour to recover, basically, is how bad my first double cigarette experience
was. Well, I'm glad you're back from that insanity. My school actually had a smoking area. Our school was built on a tobacco plantation in Maryland, so it's not uncommon. Now we had a smoking section at high school. I mean, every day people were out smoking in the quad every day. Cigarettes, with administrators walking through, teachers walking through, no problem.
Wow.
Teachers bumming cigarettes off of students. I mean, that was common. But I went to school in the 70s and early 80s, man. It was a different world.
So,
I've been to Europe. They have the warnings on the pack in Europe, and they have the warnings on the pack in Canada. Since like 2011, right?
But this is going to be the labeling of the tipping paper of individual cigarettes, little cigars, tubes, and other tobacco products. So it's going to be everything you see will be cigarettes bad, cigarettes bad.
this will kill you as you smoke it down.
The thing about smokers, though, is that smokers know that cigarettes are bad. They know that. They just don't care. I think what most smokers need to do is they need to upgrade the way that they put nicotine into their body.
Yes.
So, for instance, Mr. O'Neill, right at this very moment, I have a nicotine lozenge in my mouth. I'm not smoking cigarettes. I'm not pulling a I'm not smoking. I'm not doing a Larry King. I've got it in my mouth. Nobody can tell. And it's the way to live, right? I can have nicotine anytime I want. Yeah. I can be around babies. I can be around old people. I can be around someone with asthma.
Good.
Doesn't make any difference.
In a restaurant.
I could be in a restaurant.
Seriously.
Getting my nicotine fix through my lozenges. And so I'm a big advocate for that because I breathe better. I can taste better. Everything in my life is better since I stopped smoking cigarettes. I just switched over to nicotine lozenges, and it's the weirdest thing because it's not that much more expensive than buying a pack of cigarettes. It's not it's the same thing. It's just in a different form, right?
It takes away the most damaging part of a cigarette.
Yeah.
Because the nicotine is not the most damaging part of the cigarette.
Have you ever noticed that cigarettes are kind of a rich man, poor man thing? Have you ever noticed that?
What do you mean?
A rich man, poor man thing is like Adam Carolla came up with it, but it's like there are certain things that only really poor people do and only really rich people do. And cigarettes are one of those things.
Yeah, the fringe elements of the economic spectrum. Yeah.
Right, like an outdoor shower. Think about it like that. You're really, really poor or you're really, really
one
rich.
One with a really nice massage head and one that's a hose thrown over a fence. No,
exactly. And cigarettes are that kind of thing, right? Like the ultra. I know a lot of rich guys that are like, man, I can't get enough of these $20 pack cigarettes. And then I know a lot of poor people that are like, you know.
Going through the seat cushions to find quarters to get a pack of smokes.
They're buying Bugle. They get the.
Ouch. Hats off to Canada for trying anything to get people to stop smoking. I'm looking for the Canada warning labels on Nickelback CDs next.
Yes, exactly.
Seth Rogen movies would be good.
Yeah.
All the things that are harmful to our health from Canada.
Thanks, America's Hat. We appreciate you. Hey, speaking of, by the way, when we get back, there's a very famous house locally that has been vandalized multiple times. It happened again. Find out why when we get back right after this. I'm a complicated person, Spike, because I think I've got two conflicting ideas in my brain at the same time.
Ooh.
One is I like eccentric things as long as they're done tastefully. Mm-hmm. I like murals. I like when people do fun things to their house. Like they have you ever hear about the Rainbow House in Pacific Grove, California?
Yeah. What church is that's always out there screaming in people's faces?
I'm not picking up what you're putting down here. I'm not picking up what
you're putting down. Yeah, Westboro Baptist, yeah.
Yeah,
right? And people bought a house across the street from them and painted a rainbow, right?
No, the Westboro Baptist Church is in Kansas. The one in Pacific Grove is just a house that's painted. It's an old Victorian house that's painted in a very eclectic way.
Rainbow-esque kind of way.
Rainbow-esque. But I like it. Some people think it's an eyesore. But in my mind, I'm a big believer in property rights. So if I want to do something kooky and crazy with my house, as long as it's not like completely distasteful, like it's profanity or something like that,
right,
I'm totally fine with it. I feel the same way about this house that's off Interstate 5, the one with the Betty Page house.
Yeah,
right?
Everybody knows it. Like 65th. Everybody knows.
Yeah, it's got the big old. Some people might say it's not a tasteful image of Betty Page. I happen to think it is a tasteful image. It also has the drag queen Divine on it.
Right.
I don't find anything particularly wrong with it. If you actually showed me, you know, the full Betty Page, I would then have a problem with it. But it seems to me like it's whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with it whatsoever. But it seems like people just can't stop vandalizing that house and those poor people, right? I thought we were all on the side of a man's house is his castle and a man's Betty Page mural is his Betty Page mural. But apparently,
the last time it was vandalized was,
2016.
And that was before Divine showed up. That was when it was just painted. I think Divine's only been there for 5-6 years they had a Divine to the side of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors, they interviewed neighbors because the story's been all over the news. King 5, Cairo 7, it's been everywhere. We've had it. The neighbors, they like it. They think it's entertaining. It's novel. It's unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like they have one complaint in the last 20 years about the house. But the owners of the house, the Baxters, are saying that this one, this vandalism, is beyond anything that's ever happened before. They literally had four people. They say at middle of the night, there's surveillance cameras because they've, you know, they've had controversy in the past. Caught four people literally with paint sprayers, spraying this red, pressurized paint sprayers, painting like the whole house. There's this red splatter, not just on the murals on the side facing I-5. There's the whole house is covered in this red, and it's going to be very expensive to repair. And the family's saying that this is probably due, and they can only speculate, but it's probably due to the increased contention over the LGBTQ community.
I would imagine so too. I think what's going on now, Spike, is that people feel as if I got to take matters into my own hands, because that's what you hear from the punditry. That's what I hear from a lot of major conservative media companies, that this month is, well, we're going to take back our culture and it's up to you. But what people don't realize with these media companies is when they say it's up to you, what they are really saying is, please send us your money and buy our subscriptions and buy our mugs, so on and so forth. But there are people out there who actually literally think it's up to me to go and do this thing. Remember that guy? There was this guy who was kind of a conservative darling for a couple of days. It was the guy who decided that he was going to take his dually and he was going to spin the tires over the rainbow walkway in Florida.
Yes.
So I understand that people have a hard time with pride stuff. I get it. But then there's a line between having an issue with it and talking about it and then vandalism. I don't understand why we have to forego our principles as conservatives to make a point. To me, it's like, okay, you don't mess with somebody else's house. You don't mess with public property. Those, in my mind, are kind of anti-conservative ideas, and yet you see people who are willing to forego that because they view it as like an eye for an eye type thing. And that's why I feel like I got kicked out of the club, Spike, because I just don't. Because in my mind, I'm like, okay, so private property is a thing, right? And everybody goes, yup. Yeah. And then you go, okay, so somebody wants to have a Betty Page mural up on their house. That's okay. And they go, no, that's perverse. You're perverting the kids. We shouldn't have that.
Right. It's protecting the kids. That's why we're spotting red paint.
What if somebody gets a house, though, a neighbor, and they paint a big mural of Ted Cruz on the side? I think it's really tacky. I mean, I don't support the vandalism, but I think it's really tacky.
How dare you?
It's a house.
Okay, wait. But, Chris, how do you feel about bumper stickers?
That's fine.
How about a 25-foot one on the side of your house?
Because it's a little car. You know, it's a little teeny bumper sticker.
Okay, but why are you okay with bumper stickers but not okay with Betty Page? It's basically the same thing.
No, it has nothing to do with Betty Page. It's just so tacky.
Yeah.
How is it tacky? What do you mean? Okay, so what if it was a mural of me, Chris Martin? Would it be tacky then? Your job's on the line.
Wow.
Well, if it helps the ratings, then anything's
fine.
I'm just saying, man, we can think it's tacky. Yeah, we can think it's a little, kitschy or whatever. But in my mind, I like eclectic things like that.
Yeah,
it's
uniquely Seattle. It really is.
I like weird things like that. I think that it makes a culture when you have those kinds of things in a community. It makes it much more organic than what we might see in, like, I don't know. You ever been to San Diego in those like cookie cutter house neighborhoods that they have, where it's the same house over and over and over again for miles?
Yeah,
and
we got them too.
They're all tan houses with Spanish roofing, and everyone drives the same Ford Windstar from 2002. That's the kind of place where I'm like, I will take my own life if I have to live in that.
You've got two style choices, three color choices. And seriously, that's how whole communities are planned.
Right.
HOAs are the devil.
Right.
If you're worried about the kids, folks, if the Betty Page Divine House scares you and you're worried about the kids, tell them it's Jabba the Hutt. Don't tell them it's divine. Tell them it's a Star Wars movie building. I mean, just stop. Like Jack said, stop vandalizing stuff.
Hey,
you hurt your own cause.
So those paints were probably pretty toxic. And our local senior toxic chemical expert correspondent, Stacey Jo Ross, is going to be coming in to talk about the toxic chemical ban in Washington State with Seattle Sports Zone Stacey Jo Ross coming up right after this.